The recording industry's relationship with American symphony orchestras has been long and mutually beneficial. That partnership largely dried up in the 1990s as record labels began to focus more on profits and less on prestige. In response, a few orchestras are releasing records on their own. And tonight, for the third straight year, one of those self-produced records could win a Grammy Award. From member station WHYY, Joel Rose reports.
It's been more than 7 years since the Philadelphia Orchestra had a recording contract with a major label. But that hasn't stopped the orchestra from releasing a 3-CD set of music by Robert Schumann on its own label, a record that's now up for 2 Grammy Awards. The Philadelphia Orchestra is no stranger to the Grammy Awards. The orchestra's last Grammy came in 1997. By its own count, the orchestra has recorded some 1,800 pieces of music over the years. But record labels are no longer footing the bill, says Simon Woods, the orchestra's artistic director.
The cost of making a recording relative to the number of sales you can expect from a classical orchestral release in the 21st century, it just doesn't add up, which is why the major labels stopped making recordings.
Wood says the major labels are more focused than ever on the bottom line, and that the slim profit margins of orchestral music no longer hold much appeal. He says the Philadelphia Orchestra will probably lose money on its issue of the Schumann CDs, but the project may pay off in other ways.
It's essentially a way of spreading the word.
Joshua Cosman is a music critic at the San Francisco Chronicle. Last year, the San Francisco Symphony won a Grammy for a self-produced recording of Symphony No. 6 by Gustav Mahler. Nominated again this year for Mahler's Third Symphony. Cosman says the orchestra thinks of these recordings as a national and international calling card.
If you think about how a symphony orchestra operates, it's quite localized. And the only way that it can acquire some kind of profile and presence on the national and international scene, the only two ways really are by touring and by getting its performances out on record.
Cosman says no one is getting rich off of these CDs. San Francisco Symphony officials say the Mahler recording project couldn't have happened without the support of a wealthy private donor. The Philadelphia Orchestra says there was no major sponsor for the Schumann set, but the conductor and soloists agreed to work for free. Orchestral recordings may never again be a source of revenue for orchestras or for musicians, says Henry Fogel, president of the American Symphony Orchestra League.
Once everybody understands the difference in the marketplace and says, the purpose of making records is as a musical calling card, a way of displaying ourselves and keeping our face to the public, but it is not a source of revenue, then I think you will see a relatively consistent, if not excessive, stream of recordings.
Both San Francisco and Philadelphia are following the lead of the London Symphony Orchestra, which launched its own LSO Live label in 2001. The label surprised the classical music world by winning 2 Grammys in its first year, for a recording of Les Troyennes by Hector Berlioz. This rarely mounted opera was a critical smash for LSO Live, which says it sold a respectable 60,000 copies worldwide. Officials won't confirm whether the label is in the black overall, but they say some money is going back to the musicians themselves, who agreed to a share of the profits instead of the usual flat fee up front. That's the kind of flexibility that allows many European orchestras to continue recording, says James Jolly, editor of Gramophone magazine. And Jolly thinks the problems facing American orchestras may be largely self-inflicted.
To make an orchestral record in the States is just simply beyond everybody's reach. I mean, unless you have masses and masses of sponsorship, there is now going to be an entire generation of U.S. orchestras and music directors who will never be available on disc. And I think the sooner the U.S. Union sort this out, the better, because it's an outrageous state of affairs.
Jolly says many orchestra unions in Europe are free to negotiate deals on their own, and this has made it easier for those orchestras to record independently or to entice record companies to work with them. In the United States, recording rates are set by a single union. U.S. musicians can agree to work for less, as orchestras in Philadelphia and, to a lesser extent, San Francisco have done for their self-produced projects. But the trade-off is a union-imposed limit on how many CDs the orchestra can press and how it can distribute those records. Deborah Newmark is director of electronic symphonic media for the American Federation of Musicians.
We try to be as creative as we can and as flexible as we can within the framework of our current national agreements. I don't know what the future might look like, whether we continue down that path and create even more agreements to accommodate the needs of our members. We are constantly evaluating and continue to look at what the future possibilities might be.
Newmark says musicians, too, are hurt by the recording drought. She adds that the AFFM's commercial recording contract is set to expire in January, and negotiations on a new one could begin this spring. Whatever happens with that contract, some orchestras are looking past the CD altogether to the Internet, says the Philadelphia Orchestra's Simon Woods.
The big question is whether consumers show increased willingness to pay to download classical music. So I don't think anybody really has the answer to that, but a lot of people are looking at it.
For now, self-produced recordings are becoming a fact of life at the Grammy Awards, where both the Philadelphia Orchestra and the San Francisco Symphony are in the running for Best Classical Album. The winner may not make a great difference to the average Grammy watcher, but it's likely that other American orchestras will be paying attention. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose.